Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, third hour. A busy day. A lot of stuff happening. At guard for the Brooklyn Nets, Kane Harden. All right, Tiki and Tierney, we're going to get back to the James Harden stuff, obviously. We're coming in from the Rocket Mortgage studio. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today. Just go to rocketmortgagesquares.com. So, when we came on the show 2 hours ago, we told you that this day had a newsy feel to it. The James Harden stuff seemed imminent. The reporting was so direct and so vivid that it seemed almost impossible to dream of a scenario where suddenly the Rockets and James Harden, or really more so James Harden, would reverse course and that would resolve itself. And that press conference was the silver bullet last night. I think even before that, they were looking to get rid of him, as they should have been. But last night, you just can't do that and come back and have a healthy relationship. So the Rockets today said, James, don't come to practice, you know. And then, obviously, based on some good reporting, Mark Stein was on top of the Shams, obviously, Woj. Ramona Shelbourne had some good bones to her, as usual, to her reporting as well. Bottom line is, the Nets did something that, I'm like, I always try to look at this stuff from if I own the team. Like, if I own the Brooklyn Nets, given the timeline, and you have to incorporate this, so let's see. Kevin Durant's got, he signed a four-year deal, didn't play the first year. Last year is a player option. You know, he'll opt out to get more money. So he's got two more years, and so this and one more guaranteed. We've got that finite window. Same with Kyrie if he wants to keep playing. Same exact contract terms. I get it. You're going for the biggest piece of the puzzle, not just in New York, but now you're going for the biggest piece of puzzle in the NBA, on the NBA radar. While I would have done that, it's reckless. You better win. Mm-hmm. I can justify Nets ownership doing that. The praise must be thrown in the direction, in my opinion, Teak, of the Philadelphia 76ers, who showed great restraint holding on to Ben Simmons, which to me would have been an idiotic trade and a horrendous move if I'm Philly.
Yeah, I mean, the Ben Simmons thing is a little bit different. He's obviously not happy as well, but I think it's a different impact when Ben Simmons is unhappy versus James Harden being unhappy, where, you know, what he says is going to not only impact the organization, but impact, I don't know, other free agents, maybe thoughts about coming there. Like, Ben Simmons hasn't earned that juice yet, whereas James Harden has a powerful voice simply because he was an MVP and he's a star in the league. And whether or not we believe he's a viable champion in the NBA, a lot of the other guys that play this game, they respect him.
Can I ask you a question, Teak?
Go ahead.
And I'm asking the question. When you say he's got a powerful voice, I know he's got a powerful voice within the Rockets and within the city of Houston and the great state of Texas. I don't look at James Harden's voice as one that players gravitate toward. Matter of fact, I've seen players that played with him running away from him. He seems to be very much like self-isolated.
I'm not talking about that.
Messaging?
No. I'm talking about how people respect him as a player.
But you said players.
Yes, players.
But you said he's got the juice, like the power. I don't see that.
He has. So the players in the NBA. Here's what people.
Chris Paul?
No, not even those guys. Like, players in the NBA look at James Harden like, this dude is a star. And it's honestly less about him winning championships or having rings or all these intangibles that fans and media like to focus on. It's about you're making 30-something million dollars a year. You're the NBA scoring champion multiple times over. You won an MVP. You have juice. You have a voice that people that not necessarily listen to, but like when you say something about whatever. The Houston Rockets are a terrible organization, bro. If you want to go there, you're gonna find yourself in a hole that you're never gonna get out. Do not go play for the Houston Rockets unless they're offering you a bank that's gonna make you generationally wealthy. That means something if he starts saying something like that, right? Ben Simmons, he hasn't earned the right.
Well, it means there's dysfunction, is what it means.
Of course, but Ben Simmons, my point, this is the only point I'm making, it's the only one that matters, doesn't have the juice to say anything like that. Ben Simmons is still trying to figure out how to be, I don't know, a star. I think he's getting there, but he's not one yet. Mm-hmm. James Harden is already a star, so he has a voice in the player sphere around the NBA. You know, not from an outside perspective. I'm talking about internally when these guys look at each other, just like these guys respect the hell out of Kyrie, even though we on the outside look at him and say, dude, what's wrong with Kyrie? He's got issues. He's sitting out games. There's something to being a star in this league, and James Harden has earned that right, just like Kyrie has earned that right.
Definitely he's earned the right, and the moniker is not a star, is a superstar, no question, but and not even the voice, because he's not very outspoken. Not that
on anything, really.
Really, that's what I was going to say. You don't really know what he thinks about anything. He's very much a model of self-isolation. Almost brooding is the wrong word, because he's not a brooder, but he doesn't emit constant positivity. He just doesn't.
No.
And, you know, he emits night-to-night greatness, putting the ball in the hole, which is great. But I would say, you know, incorporating the Simmons angle here, and I can't prove this, but if you polled the top 100 players in the NBA, and it was an anonymous poll, and your name wasn't attached to it, who would you rather align yourself with? Who would you rather play with? I believe that you'd get 90-plus votes that would prefer to play with Ben Simmons.
There's no way, BT.
Because you're going to get the basketball. The few votes that would trickle in for James Harden would be James Harden's boys. I don't see James Harden remotely the same way you do at all.
I think that James Harden, if you're saying this in a vacuum, people will say, if I play with James Harden, then that's putting me in a position to be in the playoffs and maybe win a championship. And you're saying this about Ben Simmons, it's like, okay, I don't know what he's great at yet.
Great passer. He's a great defender.
Okay, but I don't know what he's great. He hasn't done anything great yet. He hasn't won an award. He hasn't, you know,
first team
lifted himself to and his team to a point where you're like, man, this team is viable. It's always been, all right, are you going to stay on the court? Or what are you going to shoot? Like, what are you going to do? I like Ben Simmons, but I still think he has some evolution to go. James Harden has spent a decade proving that he's a great player. I don't think it's a conversation to talk about Ben Simmons versus James Harden.
You're looking at it literally. Like
That's what you said, though.
But no, I did. I got you.
And by the way, James Harden led the league in assists.
So
what are you talking about? But it is what it is.
I mean, when you throw that at me, it's hard to refute, because quite literally he did. Even this year, he's 10 assists a game.
That's what he does, man.
I understand it.
He drives and he kicks. And if you're a good shooter, like Eric Gordon.
But then why does nobody enjoy playing with the guy?
I don't know if they don't enjoy playing
with him. Every star runs away from him. Chris Paul said, get me the hell away from this guy. Russell Westbrook said, get me the hell away from this guy.
I think it was more the system. I think it was less about James Harden.
I think it was a lack of respect for the way James Harden approaches his craft on a night to night, whether it's maintaining your body, whether it's being in the gym, whether it's like just being all in as a team concept guy. Like, I know he's got buddies. I guess KD and Kyrie is part of the crew to an extent. But I don't believe I know the young guys look at him and say, man, I'd love to average 35 like he does and win an MVP. But I don't think that that players aspire to align themselves with James Harden. Matter of fact, I know they don't. They want to play with LeBron James. They want to play with Chris Paul.
Of course, everybody
they want
wants
to play with James Harden.
Of course, everybody wants to play with LeBron James. I mean, that's the name. But you're talking about yes, I would give you Chris Paul because he's a great lifter of player. But there's no way you're convincing me that Ben Simmons is more desirable to play with than James Harden.
I believe he is. Who do you think Joel Embiid would rather play with?
Not Ben Simmons. I don't think they like each other.
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying.
I don't think you like Harden when he's getting 5 or 6 fewer shots each game, and you got James just pounding the ball, boom, 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 boom. At least with Simmons, no, you're gonna reroute the ball.
Yeah, true.
Like, there's something aesthetically pleasing and enticing about that style. If I give it up and I cut, I'm getting a rock back.
True.
I'm getting it back.
But James Harden will do that as well.
Yeah, because they have 30 more possessions than everybody.
That's right. All right, you're gonna shoot more.
I'm just not a huge Harden fan. Having said that, in terms of a championship caliber player, obviously, I've got to give the man his due. He's one of the greatest scorers of all time. I'm not trying to take that away from him. It's funny. Every time we talk about – now, let's bring Durant into this, right?
Yep.
And to a lesser extent, Kyrie Irving. This is one thing that Kevin Durant, I don't think, gets the credit that he deserves. And we always talk about, you know, the adaptability of LeBron James, where he empowers you early. Hey, AD, you got to get shots up. You've got to carve out your DNA. I'll get mine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Let's get you going first, right? And he's done it everywhere he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He was deferring too much in Miami. Dwayne Wade said, yo, you got to be LeBron James. I'm the second best player on the team. You're the first. Start acting like it. He's almost too unselfish, right? I think that Kevin Durant doesn't get thrust into that part of the pool for a player who very easily is able to coexist with other volume shooters, even though he's efficient too.
Yep.
I don't mean to imply that he's not efficient, but he takes a lot of shots. He can play a couple of different positions. He has no problem feeding somebody when they're hot. Like, he adapts, maybe not quite as LeBron, close.
Here's the thing, though, BT. You're dead right. You're dead on right. Here's the difference. KD's not thinking about it as part of his legacy. I think LeBron James is like... And he's intentional. He's intentional. He's like, guess what? I'm going to become Magic Johnson right before y'all's ass's face. Watch this, right? Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's LeBron James. Yeah. KD is just like, all right, what do I got to do to win?
Where's the game,
right? Right? Where's the game? All right, you're hot, bro. You got this, man.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I wasn't convinced that that would happen. When he left Oklahoma City, and we all remember him and Russell Westbrook at Oklahoma City, it was just like, all right, you go do your thing for a quarter. I'm going to do my thing for a quarter. You know, you'll do it for the third quarter, and then whoever's hot is going to do it in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was just like ISO basketball all day. And so when he went to Golden State, I was like, man, I got to be honest, BT, I was a little bit skeptical. I was like, how's he going to play in that system that relies upon taking the best shot all the time by ball movement? How's he going to – and what he excelled in it.
Because
he won two finals MVP.
His
IQ is through the roof. And so when we think about James Harden now in Brooklyn with the Nets, I think your point is going to get highlighted and exacerbated because – the only person Kyrie's not going to hold this thing together. The only thing that's holding it together is Kevin Durant being what Kevin Durant learned to be when he was in Golden State.
Yeah, that's very much accurate. And, you know, I wonder, like, if the Nets knew on, say, the 4th of July, sitting around, barbecuing it. Oh, I mean, yeah, he's sitting in isolation, certainly now and certainly then. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
A virtual 4th of July celebration.
You're talking about last year. Yeah.
And they're sitting around there saying, oh, man, look at this trio. We got Durant, we got Harden, we got Kyrie Irving, we're good to go. Do you think they would have hired Steve Nash? And if not, which, by the way, is probably my answer, who do you think they should have targeted to coach these three guys if they knew that they were going to actually have this happen?
It's an interesting question. Probably Ty Lue. Because he's good at he's good at managing those multiple personalities, and he has experience at least with one of them.
Not
Kyrie.
A bad call. Good, actually, that's a good call.
You know,
the answer. That's a good call.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one that I think of that he's smart enough because he's young enough, so he relates.
Yep.
He's obviously got a high basketball IQ, and he's not like, I'm doing this and we're sticking to it and I don't care if you disagree with it. This is what we're doing and we're going to bat butt heads. He kind of lets his players give input on what's going on and how they're going to, you know, how they're going to run their system. I'm really interested now that you bring that up because, I mean, you kind of forget because you don't hear his name all the time that Mike D'Antoni's on the staff, right, with the Brooklyn Nets.
Sure.
And I wonder if he's going to adjust to how playing with KD and Kyrie is going to be for James Harden. Because we know what he allowed James Harden to do in Houston. Whatever you want, bro, you'd go do it, right? That's not going to fly. That's an interesting dynamic that I don't think we're talking about enough.
But there's elements of that happening anyway. Forget about the trade for James Harden. Every night the Nets are giving up. Oddly, their defensive efficiency rating is actually okay. It's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look up, certainly recently, I mean, you know, that buck 40 game with the Hawks.
Yeah.
I mean, every night they're just giving up a boatload of points here. Yep. And they don't seem to have deviated too. Like, it almost seems like while Steve Nash is the head coach, it seems like it's a D'Antoni team.
Yeah, and where's Jacques Vaughn at? Where are you at, Jacques Vaughn?
Yeah.
Because that's supposed to be
He's probably pissed he got passed over saying, I'm not going to do my job that night.
Exactly. Y'all just pay him. I'm going to sit over here in the corner. Got to be isolated anyways. I can't coach you.
He's got too much pride for that. And by the way, maybe he would have been the answer. I don't think he would have been the answer. Much like I don't necessarily think Steve Nash is the answer for this group. But because
it's kind of unfair, right, to Steve Nash.
You can look at it one of two ways. There are a ton of coaches sitting around, some of whom might be watching the show saying, man, I know what these guys are saying, that there's travails and there's issues and there's pitfalls that come with dealing with large egos and monstrous bank accounts and overflowing toolboxes of talent. That's undeniable. But there's a boatload of coaches who coached a bunch of scrubs.
That's a good point.
Who got fired quickly. Yeah, granted, they collected every penny because it's guaranteed. But they never had a chance to go to the dance with the prettiest looking one, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and I think everybody would love to. Listen, I know. I'll give you an example. I remember when I was doing local radio, and it bothered me. We had some great shows. I had a great show, and we had a good station. We had the worst signal in the world. Nobody could hear us. And that bothered me so much because I'm saying, man, we are pumping out good stuff, and nobody can hear us. It's not that different than a coach sitting back saying, man, my concepts are good, and we're disciplined, and we're buttoned up, and we're prepared, and advanced scouting is on point. But, geez, we just don't have the horses. You want the horses, but you got to know when to lead them back into the stable.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge for Steve Nash.
Yeah, it's a high-level problem.
The only problem I see, and I hate going back to Kyrie every time, but I'm not worried about KD, and I'm not even worried about James Harden right now. Kyrie Irving, by not responding, and this is the start of the whole absence with Kyrie, for those who forgot or might not know, real quick, the belief is that he informed certainly his teammates that he wasn't showing up that night, the first game and the ensuing games, right? Steve Nash found out 30 minutes before he met the media before the game. Steve Nash texted Kyrie Irving. Kyrie did not text back by the time Steve Nash was about to meet the virtual reporting scrum. Okay, that's bad enough. Post-game, 2.5 hours later, it's now 10 o'clock at night. Kyrie still didn't respond to Steve Nash, which I can only ascertain on some level. Yeah, you have to believe this or deduce that Kyrie Irving doesn't really respect Steve Nash. How can you say that he respects Steve Nash?
Because he
publicly disrespected him.
Yeah.
So to me, the only issue, not talent, depth is an issue, defense could be an issue, but the real issue could be if things ain't flowing Kyrie's way, unhappy Kyrie emerges. If Kyrie even comes back, which I think you're right, I think he will. I mean, I don't think Kyrie Irving respects Steve Nash. And it goes back to the first statement. We don't really have a head coach.
Yeah.
You do. His name is Steve Nash. What do you mean a coach? It's a collaborative effort. Not really. He's the coach. I mean, you know, you're the superstar. We get it, but he's the coach. So if this thing goes sideways, it will be Kyrie who puts it that way, in my opinion. Do you believe that that's unfair?
No, it's not unfair at all, especially because Kyrie is currently not with the team, on a team that he's getting paid $33 million or more to be a part of.
Now, here's a question for you. Let's say Kyrie, now he's not playing tonight against the Knicks. We know this. Didn't play last night against Denver.
Yep.
The thought is that he will not play
over the week, I think through the weekend at least, right?
Yep, that's what I was going to say. The report is probably through the weekend at all. I mean, when he comes back, if he comes back, is he immediately embraced?
Immediately. I think he will because of Kevin Durant. Again, the glue to this whole thing, as we said earlier, VT, is KD.
But how do we know KD's not pissed off privately? How do we know that?
We don't. We don't, but
KD's sitting there saying, man, KD, I just ruptured my Achilles. I got to go back-to-back against the Knicks tonight.
Even if he is, he's not going to talk about it. He's not going to publicize it.
No, but that doesn't mean that that can't impact how he feels about Kyrie privately when Kyrie comes back in.
You know, I think KD is just – he's one of the chillest dudes. You know, he gets emotional about things. I think he's really chill.
Yeah, so, I tend to agree with that. So, he's very, very mellow, very even, very –
he's measured.
He's very predictable in his personality, in a good way. He's not erratic.
No, that's right.
You know, he's just
not. So I think that allows him to handle a situation like this a little bit better than some other stars would.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right. What do we got here? Did we land anybody or no? I don't even know what we have here. D-Cell, what do we have? My Slack just froze up. What do we got coming up? Nobody. That's what he just told me.
More James Harden.
I mean, it's conceivable. You won't see a bigger trade in, I mean, the NBA, you never know. But
Not this year.
I mean, I was going to say it could be 5-6 years. I mean, James Harden's an all-time scorer.
Yeah.
Still in his prime. So we'll roll with this a little bit more. Tiki and Tierney on a very newsy Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio. So, you know, Tiki, I don't know if this will be a trickle-down effect here, but you talk about repercussions around the NBA and not just the standings of the Nets' ability to now – you know, go after a championship, full gusto, and we'll see if they deliver that. They're going to be must-watch for sure for a multitude of reasons, but absolute must-watch. You have to wonder, I don't really have anybody in mind yet, but maybe we can come up with, who is the next truly disgruntled NBA superstar? Now that Harden's off that radar, now that Anthony Davis has found, you know, his penthouse with the Lakers. Damian Lillard, you know.
He's never
going anywhere. Dame is all set. Yep, he's all set.
He's content to be there, whether they win a championship or not.
Yep. Giannis already re-upped.
Yep. James Harden, we know, left because he knows that they weren't going to win in Houston, so he wanted to go somewhere and win.
Mm-hmm. The other young guys like Zion and Ja Morant, they're too young to make a wave yet. The Celtics trio, more so Jason Tatum, who also signed, but they seem to have good chemistry and good vision.
I mean, we talked about Devin Booker yesterday because they're better this year, but they've consistently underachieved.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he is, but I still see him in that young category, like still not, doesn't have the right yet to be disgruntled and say, I want to go someplace else. Because let's not forget that the standard really is LeBron James, who was in Cleveland for, what, 7 years? 8 years before he decided to go to Miami? What was his deal?
Seven or eight, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was something like that. I think that that's the time frame. You got to be somewhere for a while and give it a few iterations of trying and failing before you can say, this isn't going to work, get me out of here, like James Harden did or like Anthony Davis did. I think Anthony Davis was about the same. Also, like 6, 7, or 8 years or so before he ultimately, you know, bounced. Because he came in at 18, so 19, he's 20. Yeah, so it was like 7 or 8 years in New Orleans for Anthony Davis as well. So you got to think of someone who's past that number, who's great and been a consistent all-star, and a great scorer or whatever, great defensive player. There's really not a lot of them. If you try to think off the top of your head, there aren't many.
Not a ton. You know, Joker, you know, he's a top 10 player, but you know, Jokic obviously is seems like he's very happy there. He's a low maintenance guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Siakam, not that he's a star. Siakam does not appear to be worth
a step,
that money.
He's taking a step back.
To be honest with you. they might try to trade him. I don't know if he certainly doesn't have the grounds to demand a trade. Kawhi.
Yeah, but he won a championship already.
I know. I got you. Kawhi and Paul George, we know what their contracts are. We know what their situations are. Luka Doncic, why wouldn't you be happy with Rick Carlisle and the Dallas Mavericks organization, world-class organization?
Yep.
That's a tough question. I'm gonna give you the name, and we just discussed him at length before. I want to see how Ben Simmons compartmentalizes the way his name was thrown around.
Yeah.
He's got to go. Go ahead, Teak.
I was just going to ask, why is he upset? Not because they didn't necessarily try to trade him. So why is he so, I don't know, disgruntled? Is it because it wasn't mentioned that he was a stalwart, that he was there for the long haul. Like I'm a little bit confused why he has some grievances with the 76ers.
I don't know. Maybe I can't answer that. Is there, you know, a little fracture, and it's been rumbled about in the past, but who knows? Maybe winning suppresses it. Is there a fracture, you know, at the core of the relationship with Embiid? And I don't know. Maybe he doesn't see himself playing with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does. I don't care how egoless, whether it's Simmons or somebody else, and he seems to have a healthy ego, and there's nothing wrong with that. But even if you're, you know, seemingly without ego, because everybody's great, that's great if something has an ego, the key is to suppress it. I want to see how he handles knowing that he was the one that the Sixers were willing to part with and not Embiid.
Yeah.
Because now that's, he's a young player who's still trying to, you know, all right, I got to get past this mental block of shooting threes, and then I got to hit some, and, you know, all these things that a young player deals with, especially for a team that's on the short list out of the East to do some serious damage. I don't think it will sidetrack him, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. I mean, but you also, you know, I think they ultimately, they just need to win and live to the expectation of having, you know, two rising stars on their squad. And they just keep falling short. Not that they're egregiously falling short. It's not like they're missing the playoffs and having, you know, sub 500 seasons, but it just, it feels like they're ill constructed as a team, not necessarily the stars, as a team to really compete. And it always shows itself in the postseason, but it's only been a couple of years. So you just got to be patient. You know, it's one of those things where I know it's got to be frustrating, but you just got to be patient with it. It doesn't happen overnight, especially in the NBA, where if you have an opposing team with multiple stars, you're just not going to beat them, especially if they're more seasoned with you and than you and have, you know, MVP or, I don't know, all defensive player or, you know, top of the league type guys, you know, competing against every night.
Four first round picks. Four. And good players.
Yeah.
Good players. Jared Allen's good.
Is it worth it?
It's worth it if you win a championship. And if you, so I can't really, I answered it before from the position of, if I owned the Nets, would I make this move? Begrudgingly, yes. I'm less of a Harden fan than my partner, but I understand why you do this, to maximize this little 2-year window based on the contracts of Durant and Irving, as I said. So I probably would have made the move, probably. Man, their defense is bad. They're going to have lineups out there. DeAndre Jordan, that's why Allen is very important. DeAndre Jordan does not move. I mean, he's a shell of what he was.
Yeah.
You're going to have Harden, who's a turnstile. Kyrie Irving, who's horrendous on defense. Joe Harris, who can get abused in the wrong matchups. He's going to fight for you, but he's not an athlete. You know, he's not terrible, but he's not good.
Not playing man, he's not.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He can only disguise so much with zone and matchup, whatever. So you got issues with Joe Harris based on who you're playing. Jordan is what he is, you know, and Durant is solid and with some defensive versatility, but you can make the case that if that's the starting five, that 80% of the starting five is highly deficient defensively.
No,
highly deficient.
But what is the likelihood that it's not going to come into play because you can outscore everybody?
It always, the likelihood of that, zero.
Likelihood
is zero.
That's exactly right. So it's, you know,
maybe
it's,
tonight or, you know, a week from now against whomever in June. Zero.
Yeah.
You got to play defense, man.
It's true.
You got to play D.
It's true. I agree.
You got to D it up. I don't care who you were. I mean, you could laugh at, you know, those tight uniforms with Bird and McHale, but I mean, they had some, you know, Danny Ainge was a defensive ball hawk. He was tough as nails. And Dennis Johnson pick you up 94 feet, give you a little press and trap. And, you know, Bird led the league in steals a couple of years. First, he was an old defensive player 6, 7, 8, 9 times. Maybe not always first team, but great help defender. And Robert Parrish, I mean, you know, the block shot. I mean, even the teams that you would not associate with being great defensive teams had great defensive principles and good defensive players or decent defensive principles and great defensive players, like the Pistons, Joe Dumars, one of the best defenders of all time. Say what you will, he really was. He's the guy. Jordan's like, I couldn't figure him out. The only guy that locked up Jordan, as much as you can lock up MJ. Say what you will about Laimbeer, pain in the ass, tough as nails, man, tough.
Yeah,
sets good picks. Rodman,
it's
tough. John Sally, tough. You know, so this defense is bad. You think they win the championship? Seriously, you think they win it?
I do think they get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
But again, you're assuming Kyrie comes back to play.
This is only assuming Kyrie comes back to play because you're going to need all that scoring. Defense is it's important. It's less important if you can if you're consistently good at scoring. So I'm going to say I think they get to the championship. I don't know if they win it.
All right.
I don't know if they win it.
I mean, that would be a surprise to me if they actually win it. But it's a swing for the fences. And, you know, sometimes when you swing for the fences, you Aaron Judge it. You hit it 490. Sometimes when you swing for the fences, you Aaron Judge it. And the ball's in the catcher's mitt.
Exactly.
You know, so either way, it's pretty majestic. We shall see. Let's get the update from Ack. Ack's a big old school basketball guy. What do you think, Ack? You think the Nets are going to win the championship with this?
Well, they better because they have no drafts and they have no depth. So.
I know. But do you think I trust
you again? I have a hard time believing it just because, as you said, their defense.
Yep.
You have to have some measure. And maybe I'm wrong because, look, they could outscore guys, 200 to 175. But at some point, they're going to have to get a stop. And the other thing that scares me, though, is both Harden and Durant are over 30. Yep. Durant's coming off a major injury, although he has looked good so far.
Very good.
And Harden's got a, you don't know what his body's going to be like going forward. So it's really about right now. I mean, right now. They have to obviously get a Kyrie Irving straight.
All right. Let's get the update from Mac. Tiki and I'll come back. We'll kick the blast on a busy Wednesday. Rich Ackerman right now. Busy stuff. Good stuff today. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day today. And brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, as always. And I don't know. Let's go with this. See what we got cooking up over here. Jack is in Brooklyn. BK in the house. Jack wants to know, assuming Kyrie returns, can the Nets contend with the Lakers for the title? We pretty much just answered that, but if you want to give a quick gloss over it, go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, they can contend, but I think the Lakers, because of the depth that we were talking about, and they play better defense, interestingly enough, despite LeBron's age. So I'm going to say yes, but I still would give the edge to the Lakers.
I would agree. And that's giving up 113 points a game, 22nd worst in the NBA. That was with Jared Allen and LeVert. Now you insert another deficient defensive player. So it's going to be a problem. But you know, listen, they are going to score, that's for sure. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So we thought, I said this at the start of the show, that I really thought we'd get some news items. I thought there was a chance it didn't happen. Matter of fact, the dopes let him leave the building for some reason. But I thought that there was a chance that Rob Salah would sign with the Jets. He's down with the Eagles now, so that's not happening. Urban Meyer, I thought there was a chance that could happen today with the Jaguars, though there's a late pitch now. It looks like the Chargers trying to get involved, but it seems like Urban's pretty deep in the process with the Jaguars. I'm not saying it can't happen with the Bolts, but to me that would be a surprise. At this point, it looks like it's going to be the Jags. And, listen, you never know, but that's the kind of sense I have. And we also thought that James Harden would get dealt probably by the show. So, listen, if I would have hit 333 in college, I probably would have played a little bit after college. you'll take 333 on a baseball diamond. And I do think that in the next day, I mean, let me ask you, don't you think that we'll have to get some resolution with some of these coaches? Like, to me, once one coach announces where he's going, you get two or three quick ones. So maybe by tomorrow, I think we have some NFL head coaching news.
Yeah, I mean, we should. How much longer are our teams going to wait for Eric Bieniemy? This is basically really just the Texans, if you haven't already interviewed him. We talked about this to start the show, BT. There's just a lot of issues going on down in Houston. Mm-hmm. And that might be, to me, the last one that gets done. Because if your franchise quarterback, who you just paid a grip to, is, like, pissed and doesn't want to be there, and, I mean, who's taking that job? Right, we talked about it being a good job because of Deshaun Watson. If he's gonna undermine you and not because he's not that kind of guy, but you know what I mean. But
yeah, I know,
like
yeah.
The situation is undermining. That just makes it a hard one to resolve, man.
That's an under-illuminated point. Like that's a really important point. We talk about the Texans' job up until a week or so ago. Oh, it's appealing because you got Deshaun Watson. But the flip side there is. Well, you don't know if you have Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
You know, and we know you don't have first and second round picks, nor do you have any wiggle room in terms of the cap. So that's interesting. Who's going to actually take that job? But we'll find out. We'll find out in the next couple of days or so for sure. And obviously tomorrow we'll start cranking up the coverage for the divisional matchups. We'll get a little bit more game specific. But right now, time for a little blast. Teak, you ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Teak, so the Seattle Seahawks fired OC Brian Schottenheimer. Shoddy got sent packing. They sent out a nice tweet, and you know they talked about his acumen, but they said philosophical differences, which was a little more information than you get from most teams' Twitter accounts there. Appreciate the transparency. What should Seattle look for in their next offensive coordinator, do you think?
Well, I think they got to find someone who's going to be more diverse in their offensive sets. And look, you look at a lot of the teams, in particular in the NFC West, just coincidentally, all of those teams, whether it's Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona or Sean McVay with the LA Rams and certainly with the 49ers as well, they're flipping sets and their motion, and it's preset alignments that then shift and give indications of what the quarterback should be looking for, and also gives you a numbers advantage, which the Seahawks don't do. They've been very static. And I think it's a disadvantage when you have deficiencies on your offensive line. So they need one of these new, I don't want to call them new age, because that sounds like welcome to the age of whatever, Aquarius or something like that. Mm-hmm. They need one of these more modern motion coordinators, because it'll help Russell Wilson.
Or a really old school guy that's going to stabilize the O-line. Or maybe just a better offensive line coach.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
true.
Callahan type, like some of the studs that is, you know on the short list of great old line coaches.
Yeah.
You know, I'll leave that stuff to you because I think you outlined it pretty good. But I know when I watch Seattle, they almost always run the ball well despite having offensive line issues. Yeah. I know Wilson,
because they're good run blockers. They're not good pass blockers.
Yep. Wilson gets hit a lot, but they always run well. They throw the ball deep. They go off script. I mean, they've got multiple good receivers. Like, on the surface, I didn't really think there was a huge issue with their offense. But you know, I guess the philosophies are different. What that new one will be, I don't know. But you have to tighten up the front five. It's just far too porous, and it has been for a long time. All right, Teak, speaking of coordinators, the Raiders announced the hiring of Gus Bradley as their DC, although I think they superimposed the wrong image, wrong facial image of who
it was Wizenhunt, but they said they hired Gus Bradley.
And they put up a picture of Kenny Wizenhunt, so they messed that up. L.A. was 30th in Vegas, not L.A. Vegas was 30th in takeaways, 25th in overall defense a year ago. What's the Raiders' biggest area of need coming up this offseason? Well, their biggest need is something that you can't buy in free agency for the most part, and you can get in the draft, but they're precious few. They need a game wrecker. They don't have a game wrecker.
Yeah.
They used to have one. They traded him, and that's fine. They don't have a game wrecker. They don't have a guy that's going to blow up the opposing offensive coordinator's game plan or strike fear into the heart of the quarterback and disrupt things and, you know, a quick flip of the field, a pick six, a strip sack, just a splash play. They don't really have those guys, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, it is. I did that game the last week of the season, and I got a chance to spend some extensive time talking with John Gruden,
okay,
who I really like. He's an awesome football guy to talk to. He said the biggest thing that they need, because obviously they were looking ahead, the game didn't mean much other than getting to 500, which they were able to do on a 2-point conversion.
Elson won me a future bet because I had him over 7.5 games.
Thank you, Vic Fangio, for calling a timeout on the 2-point conversion with like 10 seconds left. They hadn't called the play yet. Vic Fangio calls the timeout.
Timeout,
what the hell are you
Denver.
Doing, Vic?
That's all right. 32-30, the final.
Even Derek Carr was like, thank you, coach. Thank you.
So
Vic.
Was I.
What John Gruden told us they need, BT, and it's exactly along the lines with what you just said. They need an alpha on defense.
There you go.
They need someone who's just an ass kicker, who is mean and aggressive and makes plays consistently every single way. They have some young players, Jonathan Abrams over there.
Safety. And,
Max Crosby is actually a really good player, even though he was a fourth round pick,
and he's good.
Yep. But they don't have that guy. They need that guy.
Don't have him.
And they're young, too, so.
Okay. So the Warriors won last night. Pardon me, the Pacers won. They beat the Warriors. It was 104-95. Now, Indy 7-4. tied for third best in the Eastern Conference. But now keep in mind, they just traded Victor Oladipo because you have players going everywhere. So Oladipo is now with the Houston Rockets. LeVert, who went from Brooklyn to Houston, has now been rerouted to Indianapolis. What do we expect from Indiana?
I like Indiana. I do. I mean, Sabonis, we talked about last year, I think it was, we were talking about him.
A couple years. Sabonis is a good player. Terrible defensive player.
Yeah, horrible, but they can score. And they're reliable. Malcolm Brogdon's there.
Yep.
He scored like 30 the other night or something. I think they're interesting. I don't see them as contenders, but I think they make the postseason.
I agree.
And they're like troublesome. Like
I agree.
You're just not just going to roll in there and roll them. They have some good, fundamentally sound players, and Caris LeVert is another one just to add to the repertoire.
Big fan of LeVert. I agree with that. They're a team that, you know, if it's the 1-8, 2-7, 3-6 matchup, and I kind of think that – I don't think they'll be 8, but
no,
I could see them more in that, you know, 5-6-ish range maybe.
Yep.
So 4-5, 3-6. That's not a team you want to see opposite. I think they're pretty well principled, pretty decent talent. We just named some of their players. What do we expect? There's a ceiling, and it's visible, more so than the Celtics and the Nets and Miami when they get their act together. But yep. Philly, of course, they're a tough team, and they're a good franchise.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I have a question for you, and I don't think I have enough time to stuff it in. Should I try?
Yes.
Somebody asked me real quick. They said, is Aaron Donald more impactful for Lawrence Taylor than LT was? And everybody's like, no way, LT. I said, you're looking at the splash element. When you factor in what Aaron Donald does, snap to snap, double team, interior line, changes everything. Can you make the assertion that it's close, if not favoring Donald?
Here's why, BT. And you're right. You know, you can't really say that publicly. Aaron Donald's a more impactful player than Lawrence Taylor. But Aaron Donald is a gap-plus defender. So, you know, they don't two-gap out there. What they do is they take one gap. Everybody has accountability. It's why they're able to stop the run and also play the pass with these coverages behind, right? Mm-hmm. But the reason they can do that is because Aaron Donald takes one and a half, sometimes two gaps. And then if it's a pass rush, you can't single block him. You got to double him. And then which frees up Leonard Floyd or someone else on the outside. So he's impactful, but not necessarily statistically like Lawrence Taylor was.
Because he does some 20 so many seasons, by the way, though.
He has. Exactly, on top of that. But he's more impactful when you think about the total package.
That's what I said. It was on Facebook. That's where it was on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I said that. And a bunch of my buddies who know nothing, they were like, you're wrong. I'm like, I can't waste my time.
They don't know defense.
Teak, have a great Wednesday. See you tomorrow, buddy. Safe, sensible, sane. Catch it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.